Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Colin Reed to discuss the San Antonio Spurs' point guard options with free agency and the lottery picks that they have. And we'll recap the award season for Victor Wembanyama. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode with Colin. Colin, how are you doing?
Doing great. You know, all of a sudden you look up and we're more than halfway between the Spurs season and the offseason starting. So I know you and I really dig that stuff, and I think this is our first chance to dig in. So it's a very exciting time for us.
Yeah, man, I know that we're recording this on a Sunday evening in late May. And for me, I've been kind of just looking at a bunch of free agent options for the Spurs. And so I feel like there's like pressure on me to get this done within like a month of like really honing in on who the target should be that maybe they should look at. So I do feel like, yes, I know it's the off season right now, but I feel like for what I'm doing in my evaluations, it does feel like a shorter time frame now that we're just a month away from free agency. Basically started the draft comes first, and then free agency is right here on July 1st. All right, man. So what I want to do today is kind of just have an overall broad point guard discussion regarding the Spurs. We're going to begin with one of the players that they've been linked to this offseason. That's Chris Paul. We'll talk about their latest CP3 rumor with the Spurs. And then from there, we're going to kind of just go into some free agents and also the lottery picks for the Spurs' point guard situation. So let's first go into the latest Chris Paul rumor to the Spurs. So on Thursday, Mark Stein on his Substack, he wrote about how the Spurs and Lakers have been two teams that keep coming up as potential suitors, according to what he's heard, in the event that Chris Paul gets waived by the Golden State Warriors. So let's talk about what decisions the Warriors need to make here in the next few days here. So they have until June 28th, the Dubs, to decide if they're going to guarantee Chris Paul's next contract for next season, which is at $30 million, or waive him before June 28th, and then he would become an unrestricted free agent, which leads to the Lakers and Spurs, you know, and any team that needs a point guard being ready to try to sign him. One new wrinkle, though, that Stein threw out in this reporting was that if Chris Paul agreed to with the Warriors, they could actually push his extension date or his guarantee date back into July, which that's a good option, of course, if they're trying to find a trade for him, the Warriors, instead of losing it for nothing, if they don't want to guarantee his contract. But for the Spurs and some teams that will have cap space, that could be an issue because they might want to use their cap space before or their exceptions, whatever, before whatever July date that is. So that is a new little kind of a wrinkle to kind of keep an eye on. With this Chris Paul negotiations with the Warriors. So who was Chris Paul this past season? Just a quick overview. He's a 38-year-old point guard. He scored 9.2 points per game for the Dubs, 3.9 rebounds, 6.8 assists off the bench, and he was a team leader in that category to 1.3 turnovers. So we know he's going to be a good point guard who takes care of the ball for you. 1.2 steals, also the leader on the Warriors in that category, and then 1.9 personal fouls. He's not a high-volume three-point shooter, 3.6 three-point attempts per game, but he did shoot fairly well last season at 37%. We do know that defenses aren't going to respect him for that shot. They're going to still leave him open on occasion. And then he shot pretty well from the above the break three, mid-range and floater range. And then he doesn't, at this point of his career, he doesn't quite get to the rim anymore or get to the free throw line. So we know he's not going to put a lot of pressure on the defense. And then he averages about 2.7 deflections per 36 minutes. So if he was on the Spurs, but last season, he would have basically been behind Trey Jones in deflections when you're looking at the players on the team. What are the salary options the Spurs could offer Chris Paul in the event he did become a free agent that the Warriors waived him? They have anywhere from like $19 to $21 million in cap space starting July 1st, depending on what they do with their players on non-guaranteed contracts. They also have the $8 million room exception if they operate as a team under the cap, or the $12.8 million non-tax mid-level exception if they operate as a team over the cap. So again, about $8 to like $21 million is kind of their range, the Spurs, that they'll have here. So let's go ahead and get your first thoughts. What are your thoughts on this latest Chris Paul to Spurs possible rumor?
Yeah, I think he's been linked to the Spurs a handful of times. You know, the very first time was, I believe, back in, I think 2017. That was when Pau Gasol opted out, which gave the Spurs the cap space to sign Chris Paul. and then he didn't sign, and that was kind of the wink-wink deal with Pau Gasol, and they ended up signing Pau Gasol for a bigger long-term contract than no one was expecting. And, you know, what was really interesting to me is I remember he gave an interview shortly after that where he said the Spurs were a really appealing option for him, mm-hmm. but he was worried that Pop might not be there by the time he's kind of exiting his prime. And now here we are 7 years later, and Pop's still in San Antonio. And then, you know, the Spurs were linked to him last year as well. So I think at this point, there's definitely smoke there. Whether or not he ends up in San Antonio, I think he is intrigued by the idea of pairing up with Pop. I think what comes to mind pretty immediately for me is the fact that Pop really respects his intelligence level on the court and who he is. I know when DeJounte Murray was injured in that 2018-19 season, he had talked about while he was out and he wasn't able to be on the floor, that Pop had him watching game film of Chris Paul so that he could learn how to like distribute better and read the floor better. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a mutual respect there. And I think, you know, it's one of these things we're going to be talking about it a lot. I think right now when people talk hypotheticals, there's a lot of like, oh, the Spurs shouldn't trade for this guy. Oh, the Spurs shouldn't sign this guy or whatever. And I think really right now the Spurs are operating under the assumption where all options are on the table for the right price. And I think that includes bringing Chris Paul in. I think, you know, I think we're going to talk about fit here in a bit, but I do think that there is a world where this happens just because they've been linked together so many times. You know, the other suitor that Mark Stein mentioned was the Lakers. And I think that option definitely makes sense for him if he intends to stay in California and the mm-hmm. Los Angeles mm-hmm. area. So, you know, there's several ways this can go, but I think that this is not just smoke. I think there's something real behind the scenes here where there's interest on both sides, and whether or not that means that it absolutely happens, you know, that's not guaranteed, but I do think it would not be surprising at this point if it did happen.
Yeah, and just regarding what you said there about the Lakers, kind of giving some of the salary options that they have for Chris Paul. Let's just say D'Angelo Russell ends up opting out of his contract and then becomes a free agent. He leaves L.A. Then the Lakers can offer Chris Paul that $12.8 million room exception. Non-tax MLE exception. Or if D'Lo stays with the Lakers, then they have less money. They only have the $5 million tax mid-level exception. So basically, it became like a bargaining deal where the Spurs had sent a better offer to Chris Paul. They could beat the Lakers' offer if that was the case. And then I think something else that you mentioned there was, you know, we also got to keep in mind what Chris Paul wants to do here. And so again, he has that option of maybe joining a young team like the Spurs and you know, being able to be that point guard for Wemby for like a year or two maybe, or going with like a team like the Lakers who are more so a playoff level team where he gets to live in LA, like you know, just a situation there, or he could look for other contenders as well. You know, it's another thing to keep in mind is that, you know, it's also going to be dependent on his decision as well. And so continuing with this broad point guard discussion, you know, just hearing Chris Paul, and then I mentioned, I was writing about some free agents, and one of the free agents I wrote about was Tyus Jones, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent this coming off season. Plus the fact that the Spurs have the fourth pick in the lottery, they have the eighth pick in the lottery, and we know that, you know, there's a lot of point guards out there. There's Reed Shepard from Kentucky, there is Nikola Topic from overseas, and then you have Rob Dillingham as well from Kentucky as some options that, you know, those players should be there on the board for the Spurs whenever they do draft here in the next month in June. And so that's kind of where I'm kind of like, you know, what do the Spurs do here in terms of do they try to sign a veteran like Chris Paul? And then, you know, have one of these rookies get drafted and play underneath Paul, or, you know, maybe go after like a player who's going to cost a little bit more in free agency, like a player like Tyus Jones. And then you could still draft the point guard, or you could have Trey run the backup point. I mean, there's just all these sorts of questions that I've kind of run into now that, you know, we're hearing some of these players that the Spurs are linked to. I just want to quickly touch on Tyus Jones, just kind of his situation. So he will be an unrestricted free agent starting July 1st. He basically, when you look at his stats and things and just the way he plays, he's very similar to what Trey Jones already does on the Spurs. Just a really good point guard who's not going to turn it over. Does a good job moving the ball. Isn't super aggressive of taking his own shots a lot of the times. He's a better three-point shooter right now than Trey Jones, but he's not as aggressive either. He only attempts like three or four outside shots a game, but he's really efficient when he does shoot those shots. Because there's a need for point guard from a bunch of teams, I do think that his mark, it's going to take more to sign him compared to like a player like Chris Paul, where I'm thinking anywhere from like 15 to 18 million because you got the Spurs out there. You have the Orlando Magic. Or he and his agent could talk to some teams that don't have cap space and execute, you know, sign a trade type of deal. So I feel like he's going to be, it's going to be a higher price to try to sign a player like Tyus Jones. And then, of course, like I mentioned, you still have the draft picks. You know, what do you do with Reed if you draft Reed Shepard or Nikola Topic or Rob Dillingham? So I think that's kind of where I want to pick your brain is what do you, I know you mentioned how like they're looking at basically all the options on the board. And what do you think is like one of the better strategy or one of the more positive strategies to look at with this point guard situation?
So I was looking at fit, you know, I was thinking however you want to, if you bring in Tyus, if the Spurs bring in Tyus, if the Spurs bring in Chris Paul, if they draft a point guard or whatnot, you know, I think Trey could start, Tyus could start, Chris Paul could start. I don't think, you know, in that group of three, I don't think any of those things would be surprising. And then I think at the two, you would have Devin Vassell next to them, or maybe another big two if you slide Vassell down to the three, depending on what happens this offseason. And then off the bench, you could have Blake Wesley kind of as the defender of the better, like guard of the other team, and then have that other, whether it's Trey or Chris or whoever. So then you have two point guard size players coming off the bench where maybe that height isn't going to be as big of a deal, you know, in the starting unit, that might be something where teams can bludgeon you with. And now all of a sudden, Blake Wesley is able to continue to learn while he doesn't need to have as high of a usage. You know, there's going to be another true point guard next to him, and he's going to be able to kind of focus more on defense while he slowly gets some of those other point guard skills down. The issue here is size. So Tyus and Trey are both 6'1". Chris Paul is 6 foot flat. Blake Wesley is 6'3", so that's pretty good, but that would still be a little bit undersized as a two guard. And that's where we get into the draft discussions that you're talking about. So Rob Dillingham is 6'3". So again, you know, that's decent for a point guard, maybe a little bit small for a two guard. Reed Shepard is 6'2". But Stephon Castle and Nikola Topic are both 6'6".
Yes.
So if you drafted one of them and you brought them off the bench with Blake Wesley, now all of a sudden we can do what I just talked about, where Wesley is, and not we, but the Spurs, Wesley can guard whichever guard on the other team is better, whether that's the one or the two, and then they can split the ball handling duties so that this rookie that the Spurs bring in can kind of get acclimated with NBA speed and NBA point guard. And Blake Wesley is also able to kind of build those skills because I think that his defense is ahead right now. I think, to me, I really like that kind of plan. Okay. I do think, you know, whether it's now, if you draft, if Topic or Castle or, you know, one of the Kentucky guards is who want the Spurs draft, or they could draft two point guards with those picks and then they bring in Tyus or Chris Paul, then I have no idea. Like that's at that point a little bit tight on the numbers. But if they do one of those things, if they bring in Tyus or Chris Paul or sign one of those point guards, I think there's a way to make that work out. I think where it gets a little bit more confusing for me is where they do two or more of those things, which I also like what we just said. I think that's on the table. I think if they pick Nikola Topic at four and they have Rob Dillingham or Stephon Castle really high on their board and that player is still there at eight, I think they're going to draft that player. Like, I don't think they're going to look at it and go like, oh, well, we just drafted a point guard and we have Trey Jones and we're going to sign Chris or whatever. Like, I think they will figure out the logjam later. Like I said, I can see a path forward on how they're going to make it work out if they do one of those point guard options. But, you know, at the end of the day, I actually think that there is a greater than zero chance, maybe even like a greater than 20 or 30% chance that multiple of those point guard outcomes happen. In which case I don't actually know how that would fit, but that's a problem for them to figure out. And I'm interested to see how you would handle that, especially if it was more than just one of them. Cause one of them, I think, like I said, you can have a 3 point guard rotation where only one of them starts and two of them come off the bench. And I think, you know, when you're going up against a bench, the height differential won't be as big of a deal, but if it's more than one of them, I don't even know how you would do that.
Okay, so my thinking here is I kind of liked how you shifted it a little bit about having two point guards basically be off the bench. Maybe Malachi Branham has to lose some minutes, or somebody loses, you know, in the wing rotation, loses some minutes off the bench. So what I'm thinking here now is, as you're kind of saying this, is maybe it's not a bad idea to go out and sign either Tyus Jones or Chris Paul, you know, as a starting point guard potentially, And then you have Trey still be the backup point guard while sharing duties with, like what you said there, with, you know, whoever they draft. Let's just say they draft one of the point guards, you know, it's Castle, Shepherd, Dillingham, or Topich. And then for me, I wouldn't say Blake Wesley would be in the, you know, above those players in the rotation. Maybe that's when he has to compete for minutes. So that makes a little bit more sense. But so that's kind of, I agree with you there, where I think that it's just a better idea to take one of the free agents plus probably one of the point guards, and you'd still be able to get the minutes with Trey Jones still on the team. And so I don't think you're forced there to like look at trade options for like a player like Trey Jones or Blake Wesley or things like that. So I think that's very interesting to a new approach that I really didn't see coming into this. I was more looking at his position, just your standard 1-5. So I think that if you can do more so like a combo guard system off the bench, that is a pretty good idea. Again, I'm not against that. So I think that you know, even though I think Tyus is probably the better player right now as of in terms of just kind of what he would bring to the team with his 3-point shooting and just you know, at his age and everything like that, I do think that it's because it's going to cost so much more. I think that their ideal situation would be to try to, if they're going to go in this more moderate approach of not chasing like a Darius Garland or like a Trae Young, a DeJounte Murray kind of player, an all-star level player, well then this is probably the better option. And then that way I think that if Chris Paul is there, I do feel like because it's going to be an easier salary to sign him at, maybe the $8 million room exception, that might be the best approach for San Antonio in this regard. That way you have Trae Jones still off the bench, plus you know, whoever the point guard is, or like you said, maybe they take two of those point guards if they really like those players and those players are there for them. So yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it. And you know, there's going to be still, like I said, some sort of a logjam where minutes are going to be gone from some players, whether that's Blake Wesley, whether that's Malachi Branham, and they're going to have to, you know, just kind of understand that if they do go and chase one of these more, what I would say, like more moderate approaches of adding a point guard via free agency and the draft lottery. So yeah, that'll be really interesting, man. Let's see what they do. They have, like I said, they have a month to figure this out. I'm really eager to see what happens with Topich, because we know that he got that injury recently overseas. He's going to be reporting to one of the version of like a combine for like the international players soon. But one thing that Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu wrote on ESPN was that, even though the Spurs will get access and all the teams in the lottery will get access to his medicals, the doctor's evaluations of how they look at injuries overseas is a lot different from the American doctors here in the States. And so that was one thing they wrote about. I do suggest that you go read one of their pieces. Those of you listening to this, it was written on ESPN.com. That is interesting. Like, yes, the Spurs are going to see how, you know, what his knee looks like or his injury looks like, but still, you know, the way that the overseas doctors look at an injury compared to the American doctors is going to be an interesting question. And I do wonder if that will maybe give the Spurs a little bit more caution in terms of looking at Topich as a prospect there because of that injury situation that happened for him and the fact that it's on the same leg as well. So again, we'll kind of see what happens there with this point guard situation for the Spurs.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
All right, so Colin, for a final topic here, because you know, it is the offseason, so we won't record a Spurs cast until every other week, basically. Is we're going to go through some of the awards that Wemby won, and also the ones that he was close on, or he at least got some votes on. And so that's kind of what we're going to do here, is discuss that Wemby's first rookie year and how he ended up on some of the award races. So let's first begin with one of the bigger awards here, which was NBA First Team All Defense. He pretty much looked like a lock there to win that award, and so he did. He was named to the First Team All Defense in just his rookie season. He becomes the first ever rookie ever to make the first team rookie. So again, that was a big accomplishment for Wemby. Of course, we knew this one was going to happen. Rookie of the year, he won that unanimously. You know, no one really gave him competition after like maybe like November was the last time Chet won that award, and then for the month basically, and then it was Wemby's the rest of the year. He was also a first team all rookie player, so of course that's pretty, you know, that wasn't too surprising. The two awards that he got close on, or was at least got some votes on, were Defensive Player of the Year. He was a runner-up behind Rudy Gobert, who ended up winning that award. He got about 20% of the vote. I thought it would have been a little bit more, but still, the fact that he was a rookie and already got Defensive Player of the Year runner-up was just something notable. And then in the All-NBA team voting, he didn't make he didn't make first, second, or third team, but he did get some votes here. He got 2 second-place votes and five third team votes, which basically when you tally up the vote totals, he basically finished top 20 here. He finished 20th in voting. And again, I do want to use some context here and say this is for eligible players, so players that played 65 or more games. So you know, there were some players who weren't in this discussion because they weren't able to play that many games. But still, the fact that he's a 20-year-old kid just entered the NBA and he's already cracking all NBA level voting here is pretty interesting and significant for the type of career he's going to probably have as long as he doesn't get injured going forward. What were your thoughts on Wemby's rookie year awards?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, the defensive player of the year, second place, that was something, you know, actually, I would say basically everything except for the top 20 in all NBA was something that we had kind of read the tea leaves on coming in. I think for me, it shows a shift in how voters are looking at things. You know, I think there was a time where, you know, the NBA wasn't as connected, league pass maybe wasn't as big of a deal, and there'd be the national voters, and then there'd be the regional voters, and the regional voters only got to see the other player when they were in town, and they mostly watched their own team. And, you know, you would look at something like, well, how are the defenses of these teams? Oh, the Timberwolves are number one on defense, so I'm going to give their best defensive player the vote. Oh, the Spurs are terrible on defense, I'm not going to put Wemby on my ballot. And I think that this shows that people are seeing things in a little bit of a different way, because the Spurs were terrible on defense, except when he was on the court, in which case they were actually pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. And I think to see that difference between when he was on the court versus off the court, especially when he moved to center full time, the fact that that's the kind of thing that voters are taking into account now, I think shows a shift in how voters are looking at things, which I think is really promising. I think that to me, it was more of like things are heading in the right direction for like how people are perceiving things. It's not just what's the record, what's the top level stat, that there's actually some nuance to these discussions, which is neat. You know, the top 20 in all NBA voting, like that's crazy. I mean, all NBA is still a position based vote, right? There's still one center.
I think this year they were also positionless from what I recall.
Oh, okay.
But I have to double check. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, a situation where the voters are saying of eligible players, like you said, you're a top 20 player in the league, basically, you know, which, I mean, if you think about it, there's 24 all-stars. So by the end of the year, he was considered an all-star level player. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this is probably the last year that he's not in the top 15 of that list, as long as he's eligible. So, you know, and then the same with DPOY, like he's going to be a contender for DPOY every single season now. You know, as long as he's healthy, he's going to rack up a giant award case. And I think the fact that he was able to do this as a rookie, doing things that rookies have never done, you know, I think all of these things together just show this level of he's a force in the league. And this is just the beginning. you know, I've been talking to people about Wemby, and I think what is exciting for a lot of people besides these awards and stuff is just, you know, I think, for a lot of people who live in San Antonio, there's just a buzz about how excited he seems to be in San Antonio. You know, he's not only happy to win the award, you know, he releases this letter saying thank you to the fans, thank you to the training staff, thank you to all of these people. So like, I think that there's just a general buzz and excitement around this team now that really hasn't been there since Zaza got under Kawhi's foot, you know, to be honest. And I think it's exciting. It's exciting that the Spurs are in this place again. And, you know, this offseason, you and I, we love digging into the free agents and the trades and that kind of stuff. I mean, this is going to be probably the most unpredictable one that you and I have ever done.
Yes.
You know, like they could do anything. I mean, they could do nothing and that would still be an expected outcome, or they could have a new roster and that could be an outcome that's not all that crazy either. So I, as someone who likes to dig into the cap and that kind of stuff, this is thrilling. And I think the awards go into that just because, like, the Spurs have that level of guy again, and they didn't have that since Kawhi left. And you need that level of guy just to be relevant in the NBA. So it's exciting to see that these awards are already coming for him, even in his rookie year.
Yeah, and the one award he didn't crack any votes, but I think for sure he's going to get some next year, is MVP. I think already he's going to get some. You know, maybe he won't win, of course, or be a top three player. But I think next year, by if he does kind of similar to what he did this year, he's going to probably get some MVP votes as well. And yeah, and I just double checked on the All NBA. It was this is the first year it was positionless, so that'll be that's going to always benefit him going forward. So he's not. Yes, we know he's competing with Jokic and Embiid and all those kind of players, but the fact that it's positionless going forward, that's going to help him. Get some awards going forward. And yeah, man, one thing that I've been kind of just noting how you're talking about, you know, just kind of the path that's changing, just kind of the feel around the team, just the fact that they have a player like Wemby is I've been seeing a lot of like clips from like just how much better these prospects are coming in 2025. And man, I think he's going to run it for the Spurs in terms of getting a good pick. I think he's just going to be too good. Unless they like rely on the Atlanta pick or some of those other picks to convey to them. But I think just in terms of their own pick, I think he's going to be too good next year, or he's going to elevate their play where they're going to be a lot, get more wins and not finish exactly where they were this season's end, even though it's a better draft coming into 2025. That's just something kind of I've been noting as I've been watching some of these prospects that are going to be coming into the draft next year. So yeah, we'll kind of see what happens. And like Colin said, you know, just look forward to Wemby getting a lot of these different awards in his future career, as long as, you know, barring any health concerns going forward for him. All right, so I want to say thank you to Colin for joining me on this episode of the SpursCast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.